All right, so you guys ready for the third week of the summer sermon series presented by your Christ the Cornerstone ministerial team? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Fantastic. So today we're going to go through John 5, most of it. I was looking at the two sermons I have to do, and I got, like, all the long-versed sermons. Some people have, like, 12, 11, 10 verses. I don't know why I didn't sign up for those. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about the healing at the pool. Who's heard this story before? Majority. Some people knew. Fantastic. It's good. And what's, you know, this Bible is awesome because you can read a story. I've heard this story before, and you can read it over and over again. And you get something different every single time, right? Which is why Pastor Tosh is encouraging us to read prior to see if you what you get out of it. Because this is what I'm getting out of it and what I think God wants us to hear today. But read through the scripture before you come into church. That'll help. All right, so today, let's go through John 5, and I'm going to read... We're going to read all of this, but, well, not the whole entire chapter, but through the, I don't know, 29 verses or whatever. But we'll start out here with verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. Are we okay? And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people use it to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." So we're going to stop there for my first couple points of this sermon. Now, when Pastor Tosh was introducing this, she said that John wrote these things so that we would believe, right? So I was thinking to myself as I'm reading this, okay, so what does John want us to believe? I think there's two things in this first portion of this passage that I want, that I think John would want us to believe today. The first one, I think is kind of obvious, is that if you want a healing, whatever your healing needs to be, it needs to come from Jesus. So this guy is hanging out at the pool, which has been known to have an angel of God come down, and when the water was stirred, then people would get in to receive their healing, whatever it was. But he's been there for 38. I'm 39. So my whole entire life, basically, this gentleman has been waiting for his healing. But he's been waiting for healing in the wrong place. Now, he didn't know who Jesus was. We're going to get into that. But when Jesus came and asked him for healing, yeah, okay, great, he got it. He asked the right person for the healing. Anybody here need a healing of any kind? Emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever it is. You got to know. You can go do other things. You can go through whatever you need to go through or take whatever you need to take, but your healing is going to come from Jesus. That's where your healing is going to come from. And the song that comes in my mind, because my dad, I grew up knowing that there was a song for everything. The song that came to my mind was "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Does anybody remember that song? I'm so embarrassed to say, but that's the song that came to mind. I'm like, oh my, you gotta be kidding me. This guy's looking for healing in all the wrong places. Or he could be like me, looking for my keys in all the wrong places on Sunday mornings when I can't find my keys somewhere. But anyway, this guy is looking everywhere. Well, he's not looking everywhere. He's looking in the wrong place for his healing at this pool. So if you have if you need a healing today, you name it. Jesus has got the cure for you. Whatever it is, you have to believe, you have to pray, you have to have faith. As Sean was talking about earlier, faith, and you, as long as you believe, God can heal you of whatever it might be. And we all need healing in some kind of form or fashion. Do believe that. Another thing I thought about when I was reading this was, what's up with this dude's friends that are hanging out the pool with him? Because like, someone, you know, an angel comes down and stirs the water, and everybody else just rushes to him and doesn't help him. And that is so sad to me, like, what kind of friends is this guy hanging out with that no one's going to be like, you know what, today I'm going to let you have the healing. Come on. I want to be around people that do that for me, don't you? Yes. People who are going to sacrifice something and say, you know what, Jamie, Pastor Jamie, today here you go. you take this blessing today. I'll get it later. And then I got to thinking, am I that kind of a friend? Am I a kind of friend that would give up a blessing sometimes? So there's two portions of this. What kind of friends do you have? Are you going to have friends that are going to help you out get into the pool when you need it, when the waters are stirred? And what kind of a friend are you to other people? In John 15, John writes later about Jesus talking about just that, about how there's no greater love than someone who lays down his life for his friends. You guys remember that? It's later on. But that's the kind of friends and community and people that you need to be around to influence you in your life. Those people who will sacrifice for you. And you need to do the same for them. All right. Let's move along. I stopped at verse 8, right? Yep. Okay, Jesus just healed him, picked up his mat, and he walked. Verse 9 says, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Uh-oh. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Uh-oh. And so Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. I could just see him. But he told me to. The guy told me to. So they asked him, who is this fellow who's told you to pick up and walk? Who told you to do this? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something else worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but now he was even calling him, he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Okay, we're going to stop there for my next point. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Well, two things here. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and the guy picked up his mat. So there's Jewish laws that are supposed to happen on the Sabbath. Laws, strict laws and rules. And I looked them up. I was like, what can people do or not do on the Sabbath as far as in the Jewish law? And there were some things that I found, like they couldn't tie or untie. So I'm glad they didn't have tennis shoes and they wore sandals. They couldn't tear anything. They couldn't separate two threads. They couldn't cook or bake. Are you kidding me? Which is why they did it all the day before in preparation. But nonetheless, they couldn't write. They couldn't extinguish or light a fire. So I guess if your house was on fire, you couldn't put it out. But anyway. So there were a lot of rules and regulations. I think there were 39 that I found that they could or could not do on the Sabbath day. And, you know, I got to thinking about this. I think if John was here to talk to us today, he would say, you know, I'm writing this so that you know that it's okay to challenge authority when you know things are unjust. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus didn't give us a red light to just do whatever we want, helter skelter, I'm going to drive 90 miles an hour to work tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Breaking the speed limit is not just, okay? I know, sorry. But what it does tell us is that it's okay if we know that it's not what God wants and how God wants us to treat each other. It's okay to challenge the beliefs, maybe the laws, etc., that are set in our secular world, if you would. And Tasha and I were talking about it. I like to bounce things off of her. We just converse. And we were talking about racism. For example, just as an example, and first the person that came in about was Rosa Parks. Does anybody know who Rosa Parks was? Yeah. On December 1st, 1955, way before my time, and some of you others, I'm just saying, she was on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, in her proper area in the quote-unquote, this is silly that we even lived in these times, but colored section. And she was asked to give up her seat because the white section was full. Four people were asked. She was one of them. Three of them were like, yeah, okay, fine, I'm not going to do this. But Rosa Parks didn't move, did she? She stood right there. Well, she sat right there. And didn't move from her spot on the bus because she knew this is crazy and unjust. This is not right. And Jesus did the same thing here, and he started doing this, and he does it more and more as you read through John, but he started challenging the old laws because they weren't just. They weren't out of love and grace and mercy like he was. Kind of look at it as Jesus is replacing that old law, those strict laws, with he's replacing them with love, grace, mercy, which is hard for us to understand because when we do stuff wrong, isn't there supposed to be a consequence? But Jesus says, no, it's okay. I forgive you. So those old laws were kind of, he challenged them. And the Jewish leaders did not like it at all, right? They weren't very happy about any of this. So I think John wants us to know that it's okay that when we believe something and we know that it's unjust, that it's okay to stand up for that. And I'm not a political person at all, but no matter what it is, if you see something that's unjust, whether it's at work or out and about, whatever you're doing, if you know you can make a difference and make a change and, well, that's not the norm, do it anyway. If you know in your heart that's the right thing to do for that person, that individual, or whatever it is, do it anyway. And then we get to, I dropped off at 18, okay, just making sure I don't skip anything here. It's all so very important. So on verse 19, I'm going to finish this out, and this is really, really important stuff. And actually, this is, when I knew I had this sermon, I was like, oh, okay, that's easy. You know, the guy's, he gets healed, I can do something about that. And I didn't realize that all this other stuff was tied into it. So in verse 19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. So he's talking to the Jewish leaders. Well, everyone there. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does honor the Father. Well, let me say that again. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. There's salvation right there, guys. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have gone will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of, oh, if he's this and I'm that and he's this and that. Here's what you need to know about this. If John were here, he would want us to know and believe that Jesus and God were equal. Jesus is showing his authority here, guys, and saying, I've come. I'm God in the flesh, and I'm here. And everything that my Father does, I do, and back and forth, and vice versa. They're all one and the same. And it's kind of hard for our minds to comprehend and wrap around the idea of the God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and everything. But you have to have faith and understand. Jesus is talking about it right here, and he's saying, I am God. We are together and one. I am God in the flesh. And of course, once again, the Jewish leaders don't like this at all. They're like, you've got to be kidding me. Now he's calling himself God. Who does that? That's blasphemous. I don't know. You probably could be stoned for that stuff, right? I mean, you know.
Or crucified.
Go figure. Stay. Don't give the story.
I know.
Exactly. Thank you, Sean. So Jesus here is claiming that he has an equal relationship with God. He and God are one. And he starts to kind of ruffle the feathers of the Jewish leaders at the time. He wrote this, John did, so we would know and we would believe that, and that there would be no doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. And if you have any doubt at all today, this morning, it's right here in Scripture. And any of us would be happy to talk to you guys about it if you guys have any doubt on who Jesus was and what he came for. So that is the story of the healing of the pool. You guys liked it, didn't you? Nice and quick to the point.
Yeah.
So, the things that John wrote about so we would believe is that Jesus is the right place for us to find our healing. Correct? Excellent. Second thing is, yo, what's up with this guy's friends? And I hope I don't have friends like him. The third thing is to make sure that when we know that things aren't right and just and done in love with God, that we know that we can challenge those things and God's going to back us up. And the last and most important thing out of this scripture is Jesus, when he's talking to everybody after he just did this thing of healing on the Sabbath, is to know that Jesus and God are one and they're equal, and that's his authority.